The following program contains mature language and spoilers. Listener discretion advised.
Welcome to the Marvel Superheroes Podcast. I'm Diablo Frank, and with me today is Illegal Machine.
Good afternoon, evening, morning, everybody.
Today we're going to cover Giant-Sized Creatures, number one, featuring Werewolf by Night and the introduction of Tigra the Werewoman. There was kind of a novelty to having a book like Werewolf by Night come out in the first place. As you might recall, you had the Werther Files back in the 1950s that helped produce the creation of the Comic Code Authority that prohibited vampires, werewolves, zombies, all that kind of stuff from appearing in comic books. Around 1971, it was decided that they needed to loosen their restrictions, not only because the comic industry was going into a bad period sales-wise, but also because it just didn't seem to fit the times anymore when you've got Hammer Horror in the theaters and stuff that used to be terrifying to people was now playing on Saturday afternoon programs. When I was a kid, you would watch all those old Universal movies. There was no stigma to it. I was in a back room on an 8-inch television set with rabbit ears. It was already a black and white TV, so there was no big deal to watch black and white movies. I'd watch the Universal Monsters, Dracula, Frankenstein, and my favorite was the Wolfman. When I was a kid, I went to an elementary school Halloween festival as the Wolfman all painted up. I think I really liked being able to jump around and be feral and growl. And, you know, 50s and 60s, there was a lot less access to it on television because of this moral panic over juvenile delinquency. And so in the comics, they banned the use of all these characters. So by 71, that seemed pretty ridiculous in the CCA, loosening their restrictions to allow those kind of creatures back into the four-color world. Stan Lee, not one to miss a beat when it came to agreeing to make some money, especially considering how much money Atlas had made before they got shut down by the CCA, wanted to get into the horror in a big way. Him and Roy Thomas got together and they tried to figure out what kind of horror concepts they could put out there as new books. And the very first one out of the gate was Werewolf by Night. He was in, I think, one of the early issues of Marvel Spotlight. It came out in 72. He beat out all the other Marvel Monsters, and he was a pretty big success. The book was originally going to be called I, Werewolf. One of the gimmicks was it was going to be told in the first person, and it was going to be serialized stories with this Wolfman-type character, whereas typically, if you look at the old Wolfman movies, what would always happen is the guy would be dead by the end, mournful that he hadn't found a way to stop being cursed and had been cursed by God, and it was all very heavy, where this made it more of an ongoing soap opera. Stanley didn't like the I in front of I, Werewolf. He wanted Werewolf to be that first word, the big word, so he came up with the idea of doing Werewolf by Night, and the thing that completed the package, Mike Ploog. Ploog was basically Marvel's Bernie Wrightson. It was one of those deals where Swamp Thing was a popular character so long as Bernie Wrightson was drawing it. After he left, nobody cared anymore. Well, Mike Ploog, so long as he drew either Werewolf by Night or Man-Thing, they were popular books. As soon as he was gone, nobody was worried about it anymore. During the heyday of Werewolf by Night, he actually got this special Giant-Sized Creatures number one, where it was not only a pseudo-annual for a horror character, which goes to show that they were successful enough to rate those kind of specials,
right. But
they introduced a whole new, maybe not a whole new character, but they were introducing a new spin on an older character through Tigra the Werewolf.
In his book, which again, like you said, goes to show they're doing fairly well.
But of course, this wasn't drawn by Mike Ploog. This one's by Don Perlin, which is something of a step down.
It wasn't bad.
Don Perlin drew a lot of the Valiant books when they were first getting started. But I think words like Journeyman would be applicable.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. I can't imagine Don Perlin would take too much offense, though, because the guy's got to know who he is at this point.
Sure.
He's been doing this for 45 years.
Yeah.
Tony Isabella, who is one of your lefty, feel-good, liberal-type people, he would go on to co-create Black Lightning, the first DC superhero of African-American descent who had his own series. Prior to this, before he got into writing for Marvel, he liked the line of feminist comic books we discussed previously. But he saw the value in Cat, Night Nurse, and Shayna. He was sorry that the experiment had failed so quickly. Now that he was a professional, they knew that this annual was going to come out and they didn't have a lot of lead time on it. They're trying to think of a new horror concept. How about a woman who turns into a cat? And he thought out this whole mythology behind it and how it worked. And while he was trying to come up with a name for the character he's creating, he thought back to the cat. I was like, well, just make up Greer Nelson. The basic design of the character was by Gil Kane, but pretty much the entire Marvel bullpen had a hand in creating a character. They all had their little tweaks that they added. John Romita is supposed to have had some input into that. Don Perlin, a bunch of other folk. Is there a simpler looking costume than Tigress? And yet all these guys that get involved with that, I wonder if they just enjoy drawing a Catwoman in a bikini.
I think she looks good though.
It's a nice design.
What a strange, twisted way to get to where we're at. I just had no idea Tigress' first appearance was in Werewolf by Night, Giant Size number one. Like, it seems so strange.
And right on the cover, they call her Tigra the Werewoman. Well, Wer is German for man. So she's basically Tiger the Man-Woman. Before Thomas did an editorial one thing, no, we know that what weir means. We just know that the general public understands weir to be like wolf, and we decided to play to their ignorance, because it's easier than trying to educate anybody or figure out what you'd actually call a woman who turns into a cat-type person. Because, I mean, if you call her Catwoman, I think DC would have some issues with that.
It's a bit of an issue. Yeah, that had to get dropped really quickly, because I don't remember any of the Tiger stuff I read her calling herself a were-cat.
Because it's really stupid.
Okay, so at least it didn't have legs.
And this was really quick, too, because her first appearance came out, if I recall correctly, 74, 75. So it was a year from the original Cat series. From the end of the series, a very short turnaround before they decided, we're just going to upend this character and come out with a completely different take on her.
Wow. I guess I didn't realize that it was that quick a turn. Man, they really just gave up on the cat, huh?
Yeah, they did not give her a lot of time.
Bombing out for issues, I guess that's, you kind of shrug your shoulders and go, well, we tried.
But that's the thing, is she had a really great origin.
Yeah, it was good. Like I said, I mean, I only read that one issue, but Greer is a great character. So many times, the alternate ego is normally garbage, and it's secondary to the superhero. For God's sakes, put the suit on and go fight somebody. Whereas Greer Grant was an extremely likable character. Her struggles as a woman after her husband passed away was just as interesting, and how she was going to start getting her life put back together was as interesting as anything she was going to do in the cat outfit.
So, frankly, having read the other four issues and the emphasis they put on the cat, Greer was a lot more interesting than the cat.
It makes sense to me that somebody would say, you know what, we've got a really good character established, the book bombed out, let's just ditch the whole superhero bit, costume changing bit, and let's just go weird with it, but keep Greer Nelson intact, since she's already established, not necessarily established, but it's such a good foundation right there, let's not try and reinvent the wheel.
In this issue, I didn't see a lot of Greer Nelson. Should we go ahead and get into the plot, you think?
Let's go ahead and get into the plot.
Okay. This book opens up with Jack Russell, the werewolf by night, wandering along a beach topless for that beefcake the ladies all love.
Yep.
And she'll try to reach that female audience. Since the book was inked by Vinnie Coletta, it kind of looked like a romance comic anyways. So he's wandering around the beach topless, and then this cute brunette in a black bikini comes running by him, trips and falls, he goes to help pick her up. And he gets clubbed in the back of the head with a pistol. Turns out these are Hydra agents that are pursuing her. They grab her by the arms. They drag her off. What they don't realize, though, is she's wearing a ring with a cat's head on it. It's like a silver cat's head ring. And it allows her to turn herself into Tiger the Werewolf, where she sprouts orange fur with tiger stripes, claws, has long, orangish-colored hair, green cat eyes, whiskers. The work. She's a werewolf, or whatever you call it, catwoman. She's a fucking catwoman.
She's a catwoman.
Okay. So she goes after the Hydra agents, and she's slinging them around. It's only a couple of them, so she kicks them out easily. And then she goes to check on this poor guy who was supposed to be her savior and ended up just being a bohunk on the sand. The moon rises, and this guy turns into a werewolf by night and jumps her. And so it's the two of them fighting. While they're in the midst of doing this, Hydra agents regroup and start blasting the both of them with, I guess, laser pistols?
It was a sonic cone is what they called it.
The werewolf is taken out very quickly. Tiger manages to put up a little bit more of a fight, even though she's dazed as well. Ultimately, she's captured and taken away by the Hydra agents. They take her down to their secret under-the-beach base and put her in a steel cage. That's when we start to find out what has happened to the cat since we left her series. Dr. Tomolo had been left as something of, not a vegetable, but she had most of her mind wiped out, and Greer had actually hired a nurse to be watching out for her. And then they launch into a recounting of her cat origins.
Complete with the scene where Women's Intuition senses the injured squirrel in the tree and makes the remark of its injured forepaw, which was probably my favorite panel in the cat issue number one. And I'm so glad that they reproduced it in this origin retelling.
I have to go and check out the list, but I think in the 75th anniversary, 75 top moments in Marvel history, Squirrel Empathy's in there somewhere.
If it's not top 10, I'm a fucking freak.
So one day, Hydra agents show up to run off with Dr. Tumalo. Greer gets her cat costume on and jumps these guys, and she manages to beat the Hydra agents. But unfortunately, the nurse ended up being this secret Hydra agent who shoots the cat in the back and then runs off, which I didn't understand because she's got the gun, the cat's down, why wouldn't you continue to kidnap Dr. Tumalo?
Yeah, and we should also mention that Tumalo's regained consciousness somehow.
Not only that, but she's speaking. She's thinking. Right. She's seemingly back to normal. Tumalo ends up putting Greer on a plane and flying her to something like a remote island. And she finds herself surrounded by these He-Man Masters of the Universe cat men and women type people with straps and skirts and shit.
Okay, the fact that you said He-Man Masters of the Universe and not Thundercats makes me really upset.
Thundercats is just too easy, and honestly, they kind of look a little bit more like Master of the Universe to me.
No, they look 100% like Thundercats. One dude looks almost exactly like Tigra from the Thundercats. Tigra? Is it Tigra?
Lion-O.
No, not Lion-O, for Christ's sake. He was the sort of the one that if one
the sexually the, ambiguous
the
Thundercat.
Sexually ambiguous Thundercat.
I'm sorry we're having this conversation, and I'm sorry I kind of know where you're going with it too.
Well, that's where I'm going. That's who he looks like. He also happens to be, yeah. He most definitely, I believe, was Tigra, which doesn't make sense because A is usually associated with feminine tense.
Greer's on an altar, and that's when she's educated that apparently cat people have been living amongst us throughout human history.
They're explaining the origins. First of all, Tomolo has revealed that she is one of these cat people.
But she can go full human, and apparently gotten stuck that
way. So right there, I yell, what the fuck? And then it goes on to the fact that they evolved from cats like men evolved from apes. But these cat people and the ape humans have now had beef for all these years. And there's one scene where the pilgrims in pilgrim hats, human pilgrims, are harassing the cat pilgrims and cat people pilgrims in pilgrim hats.
Who are, yeah, they're in like the Puritan hats and the bonnets.
To show you the beef between the years. How this got left out of my textbooks as a kid, I'll never know.
He looks like a cross between Morris the Cat and Solomon Kane.
Jesus. Anyway, this shit goes off the rails quick. To combat the harassment from the humans, the cat people unleashed a secret weapon they have. But what is it called again? It's called something like the...
It's like the final solution
the final
type thing.
Solution,
really or, unfortunate.
Or the master secret, or something weird like that.
Well, let's just bust out with the spoiler here, right? It's the fucking Black Plague.
It turns out to be the Black Plague. The fucking cat people invented the Black Plague and unleashed it on humans because they had beef, wiping out millions and millions of them. Oh my god. So I'm like, what the fuck? How did you just gloss over that in a panel, that the fucking tiger people were the ones that had the Black Plague? And apparently the cat people are immune to it, which is why they released it on people.
Mushrooms are very popular among writers at Marvel in the early 70s. All I gotta say about this.
Gloss over that shit.
So Hydra is aware of the final secret, is what it was called. So they're trying to get it from the cat people and are once again harassing them. And, well, cats got beef. They were trying... Why were they trying to create the cat? Because Tomolo, apparently, she had given all that lip service to wanting to help womankind. But now she's actually trying to create a cat person. Why was she trying to create a cat person? With her super cat person science?
I don't know. No sense connecting anything from cat number one to Tomolo being a cat person and how it's related to her.
Well, and how fucked is it too that apparently it was revealed too that Tomolo was just faking having lost her mind so that she could hide out from Hydra?
Super fucking weird.
It just, yeah.
Again, they had me with Werewolf and Tigra. And then when they started going into Tigra's origin and recapping what got us to here, this fucking story went off the rails. A planet where men evolved from cats? Are you serious?
I'm kidding, right?
Oh, my God.
Well, it's the same planet. It's not like they're from a different dimension or anything. They just, this happened, and nobody has apparently noticed in recorded history.
When it turned out that the cat people infected humans with the Black Plague on purpose, that was my Charlton Heston screaming at the Statue of Liberty. Because I did it here in my office, I started screaming.
Soylent Green is people.
Yeah, and Soylent Green is people. It rocked my world.
He was saying what the fuck very often, yes.
I was saying, literally, panel from panel to panel. And this isn't all, like, slowly developed. It literally goes one panel, men cats evolved from cats. Second panel, pilgrim cats. Third panel, Black Plague. I'm just like, whoa, this just 0 to 100 very quickly.
Well, I know, it's here the escalation, because at first it was just sort of dismissive, what the fuck? And then it's like, what the fuck? What the fuck? It just kept going up.
Totally genuine.
The audacity just kept expanding, and there was no meat on its bones. It was just like this big gas balloon of fart stupid concepts.
It was just...
Greer Grant Nelson. I really need to start shortening that, but I just like the alliterative Greer Grant part.
Yeah, I keep going to Greer Grant.
They always refer to her as Greer Nelson. And that's the thing too, that drove me nuts, is you're always waiting for the other shoe to drop because of how Bill Nelson was set up, that there'd be a reason for her to drop that name. Like, he ended up being like a dirty cop or something.
Yeah.
Because he was such a sneaky guy.
Yeah.
So it's weird that not only did they not drop the Nelson, but they dropped the Grant and she just started running around as Greer Nelson for most of her comics career.
Yeah.
But then they drop pretty much everything about that character.
I mean, I don't know. The alliteration works. That's why I like Peter Parker so much.
Exactly. So she's still dying from this radiation shot that she got. She has to go through this ritual that mixes science with cat people, religion, mythology stuff, involving them circling her on the altar, and there's gases floating and stuff. She rises up, and she's Tigra. She is the visual embodiment of a goddess of theirs. It is a great shot. Yeah, I love the it looks
awesome.
And she doesn't look like the classic Tigra very much, though. She seems much taller and leaner. She doesn't have a tail. A lot of the details aren't there. She looks really, really 60s, 70s. She looks very much of that time. But it's kind of a cool. It feels good.
She looks very Ultra Genie.
I can kind of see that.
Especially with the little, there's a little, so there was one part secret Dakota ring she had to wear, and the second part was she had to snort this chemical that was totally, I was going to say man-made, cat-made, and it comes out of a cat statue.
It looks like a novelty ashtray or something.
It looks like a novelty incense burner. So they had her snort this incense, and they let the incense flow out of this little cat statue. So the splash page has her standing on a table with this smoke rising up all around her, and it's a very I Dream
of Genie. She does have kind of a Barbara Eden thing going on there. I have to point out, too, that the cat people, they have fur colors that do not exist in nature as we know it. We have purple ones and canary yellow ones and just dual colors like blues and oranges together. They're just weird looking. But I do like they all look different at least. They're not all the same kind of cat. Right after the ceremony, Hydra raids the temple, captures Tomolo and all the other cat people, and the only one who manages to escape is Tigra, who reverts back to her Greer Grand Nelson form. But that doesn't do her a bit of good because it's no time before she's back on the beach captured. And that's the circle is completed.
The
and we're back.
Completed.
They did the same thing in the first issue of the cat.
I was going to say that. The same thing where we start out kind of in the middle of the episode. She's running from Hydra out on the beach in her normal human self. Little do we know is that was her in the middle of the book after she escaped Hydra's clutches.
This would have had to have come out after Order Magazine Secret Service too, I'll bet.
I don't know what the hell you're talking about. So anyway, so we've completed the circle.
So yeah, so we're back on the beach and Werewolf by Night is awake and howling at the moon pissed off. Suddenly he realizes that he misses Tigra and he misses her in a very bestial way.
Carnal way.
He's wearing pants, and that's probably for the best, because
thank God we don't see Werewolf by Night's Werewolf by Red Rocket.
Well, do you think it'd be more of like a pink action, or would it be furry too?
I don't know. This is all I know is that this book touched on some subjects that I wasn't ready for. I wasn't ready to think about Werewolf by Night's carnal thoughts towards Tigra, who went on to star in West Coast Avengers.
They did kind of romanticize it, though. He's so lonely, so terribly lonely.
Oh,
he just has to spend some time with this Tigra lady.
I'll tell you what. If that's what every issue Werewolf by Night was about, was like, where he's just so fucking lonely. I don't know. I think there's a reason why this book probably didn't last forever.
I think it managed about 4 years total when you factor in that it started out in an anthology. It had like 4+ issues in anthology, and then it did about 36 issues as a monthly.
Wow. Man, I guess Werewolf had some pull then, but
you had to use the word pull in this context.
Oh, man. Damn it.
Werewolf by Night busts into the Hydra lab while they're just cold beating the fuck out of Dr. Tumala.
They are straight up socking this broad.
Her granny glasses are just flying across the room. They figure, these cat people don't break. We'll break her.
I love that. There's one that had, it says, slap! Exclamation point. And the Hydra agent's hand is like full extension with the follow through. He just slapped this old lady.
You know, he started in the north and ended in the south with that thing.
Yeah. That thing had some travel.
It sets you up. You want these guys to get tore up, and Werewolf by Night, he ain't fooling. They got their green Hydra masks on, and he's just ripping right through those things, right into their brain.
And what sets,
you know, they're tearing. They make it clear too. He's killing these guys.
Oh yeah.
They don't. It's not visually graphically violent, but in the captions they're not ambiguous about it at all. He's killing them.
Right, and they make it clear that what sets him off, other than being a werewolf, is that he sees Tigra caged. Werewolf hate cage. Werewolf no like cage. So that really, you know, blows his lid off.
Again, as you mentioned, since he wanted to bust that cage open, Tigra already has increased strength, and combined with Werewolf by Night, they're able to bend these steel bars and get her loose. But then a whole group of Hydra agents come busting in, and they got to tear those guys up. Now, Tigra is still she's still Greer. So she's not trying to kill anybody. She's just trying to knock these guys out. and it turns her stomach to see the stuff that the werewolf is doing to these guys. And she chastises them or something, doesn't she?
Yeah.
But then she goes and she grabs...
Which Tumulon goes, Tiger, he's a werewolf. Don't worry. But then he stops killing these guys and actually shows a little bit of restraint, to which case I think Tumulon starts to put two and two together.
That would be the equivalent of a werewolf game, I think. They're not like smooth talkers, but stop eviscerating people in front of you if they think it's going to get in the way of the sweet werewolf loving.
Step one of the werewolf system to attaining any fine woman.
The werewolf rules.
Yeah.
Tiger helps Dr. Tumulo up, and they go running off into some secret cavern, because they're still in the cat people's base, so they know their way around this stuff. And they're trying to escape. Werewolf is following, kind of tenuous. He doesn't want, he doesn't want to blow his chances. He's trying to be cool about this stuff. But Hydra agent manages to recapture Tiger and Tumulo. So Werewolf by Night leaps, knocks the guy over this crevasse, and because he still wants that action, he actually holds onto the Hydra agent against his own well-being, and Tiger has to grab him by the pants and save him, but she is impressed that he's not being so bloodthirsty anymore. They bust out into this new section of the cat people area, and there's a whole bunch more Hydra agents. Finally, Tumulo's just had enough, and she's like, look, I gotta take these guys out. Everybody hold your breath. She opens up a valve, and apparently they have valves pressurized full of black plague in this base, which begins taking out the Hydra agents as all the cat people and the werewolf by night escape onto the beach and seal off their old cave, which is not the way I saw that book ending.
No. Dr. Tumulo then says, everyone incinerate everything inside the cave. We can't let this get airborne. They just start burning all these dudes' bodies. Oh my god. It's just, which I don't believe they show any of that, but that's what incinerate means, folks.
Yeah. It's all done off now. The CCA still has some power at this point. And then, of course, Werewolf tries to collect on his karmic sexual credit.
He never gets to second, folks. They charged hard to stretch that single into a double. he got thrown out at the plate by Tiger.
What's worse is she goes back to human form, and it was a total turnoff.
Right.
So he's just put out, walks away hard, wet, however you want to call it.
He is not a happy werewolf.
And the book ends with him howling his discontent.
Poor werewolf.
Okay, next up is a short Tiger story from December 1975's Monsters Unleashed number 10, one of Marvel's Black and White magazines, which were not code approved. They were put out by Curtis, and it gave them a little bit of a buffer so they could get away with more stuff, more lines of Creepy or Vampirella. And this one's by
Chris Claremont, Tony Dezaniga.
And it's all based on a plot by Tony Isabella, the guy who came up with the whole Tiger angle. The story is The Serenity Stealers.
Can we talk about the cover first?
Sure.
The cover's pretty badass. It's really fucking metal, dude. I'd say it's a pretty good buy for 75 cents. Marvel Monster Group. Was that a thing? Was that how they badged these things?
I believe so. Tiger is prowling the city. Meanwhile, there's this fellow, Richard Diaz, a good man, a loving husband to his wife, Consuelo, and gentle father to his two children. He's like out on the streets. I think he's a cab driver. I don't know why he's wandering around the streets at night. First, his family attacks him and kills him, and then he's eaten by a giant rat creature, and they never explain the story why his family murdered him, or whether anybody ever did anything about his family being possessed with a homicidal mania.
Correct, they never do. But I will say, before we go past this part, that them brutally stabbing him to death, and then having the rat, should you even say that he mounts him or something like that? It's super fucking grim. The way he just climbs on this dude, it says it mounted him, caressed him, reached deep inside the blistered shell and pulled the essence of the man out of the arms of death. Slowly, oh so slowly, the rat fed. And I was like, holy shit, buckle in. We are in for a fucking ride.
And see, I didn't get that. Was that a cum reference or something? I'm just thinking like soul and stuff, but when you say it, it's like dirty sounding.
The
rat creature was like impregnated too. It's like, I don't know what he ate. I was assuming he was eating the flesh, but he has this gigantic oval gut like he's pregnant or something. I look at it, it doesn't really look like a food baby.
I take it because I'm not you, as he ate the heart. He plunged deep inside and like he was eating the essence in the heart of this guy. But he never does that later on. But there are some definite, as we'll get to later on, some sexual overtones in some of these acts. But I just thought that description was pretty brutal. It mounted him, caressed him? That is some heavy shit.
The thing too is, there's two instances where Tigra could have done something about it. She's too freaked out, or she was having trouble perceiving the family when they were murdering Mr. Diaz.
I'm freaked out, and I wasn't there.
And then she continues to linger and watch as the rat creature feeds. She doesn't do anything about that either. The best thing that she does is chase after the rat creature half-heartedly until it escapes. Then she goes back and has a coffee and crackers with Dr. Tumalo discussing how weird that shit was. Oh, and of course an origin recap, because it's a Marvel book, regardless of being a magazine. Right. You have to have those.
Which I thought that this origin recap was 3 million times better than the actual origin we just read.
Oh, the origin of Tigra.
So from there we go to Brock Hunter. He's many things
really?
To many people.
Brock Hunter?
Brock Hunter. He's many things to many people, but mostly he's a player, a hotshot. Superstud, 75. This I thought was a little bit strange. Was Tigra watching him transform? Or is this some other chick watching? Yeah, this is a...
Wait, cool. Does Stud 75 transform into it?
Stud 75
transform. He's the rat creature?
He's the rat.
I didn't really notice. I kind of was tuning out while I was trying to read this thing. It just wasn't holding my attention very well.
Really?
Yeah. So Stud 75 attacks this hottie. And she's not naughty by the time he's done with her. And then he bolts for a manhole thing. Tigra chases after him.
Yeah, because Tigra got there just in time to hear her screaming as he destroyed this person.
She didn't linger like a snuff for you this time.
No. And this time, instead of letting the rat bolt, she runs him down.
You've got this zigzagging tunnel covered by blackness where they put the dialogue or the
really
captioning.
Cool.
I like the pencil shading, too, to give you this sense of it being...
The roundness of it?
Yeah.
And she does make the Alice in Wonderland follow the rabbit down the rabbit hole reference.
Ultimately, they end up at an underground altar with a burning brazier and a throne and all kinds of stuff. And then this hag who's saying, I need the Tiger Watches. So I watched as Ratso mounted the woman and caressed her. She screamed in ecstasy, and Ratso, giver of life, was done. He looked as drained as the men he killed. He was eating Diaz cum, man. I'm telling you. That's just the only thing that makes sense to me.
And that's why I said at first I thought it was the heart, but then it got sexual again later on, and I started to question. But what I also don't get is that she keeps talking about the men, and the last person that the rat killed was a woman.
They have juices, I suppose.
I know. I'm just saying that there's a very hateful towards men from this White Queen lady. I can't remember what her actual ridiculous name was. But yeah, anyway, keep going.
Yeah, I'm trying to determine that. I think that the rat creature was Ascla. The hag has become a voluptuous young woman, but still requires more life force to be gathered when she begins to hunger again.
And her name is Sarisha, Mistress of the Dark Circle. Boy, I wonder why I couldn't remember that.
Couldn't imagine. It just rolled right off the tongue. Not like Ratso Semen Life Force crap.
Oh, my God.
So
this is one of those instances where I kind of wish that the Comics Code Authority had read this book.
Oh, okay. And then the whole thing goes off this weird-ass tangent where there's a reporter who gets laid off because of budget cuts right before, like, you're seeing Tigra about to fight the hag chick.
Yeah.
I don't follow. That was extraneous. I guess because they wanted to do the parallel narrative where Tigra is fighting the queen chick who becomes like sort of a pseudo rat creature her own self and starts trying to suck the life force out of Tigra while the rat guy finds the reporter guy and drains the life force from him and turns him into a desiccated husk from the looks of him.
So that's basically what's going on. He's draining the youth out of these people and then giving it to the White Queen, Sashira, or whatever.
The sticky white youth from these people, yes.
But in this case, he's interrupted by Tigra. And the guy actually reverts back into himself. The rat wasn't able to finish the deed.
So is this just because the rat queen woman thingy got slashed by Tigra?
Yeah, he senses
that she just got slashed, and then why would he just blow the youth back into the reporter guy?
He didn't blow the... He didn't complete the transaction, so he...
He looked kind of done to me.
But he didn't get a chance to mount and caress him yet. And because he had not been mounted and caressed, the ritual was not complete.
If you don't finish, you get no credit.
That's right.
Okay.
This is an all or nothing deal.
Then the rat guy turns on the witch and takes her essence. Why does that happen?
Because Tigra was immune to her youth-sucking powers. So when she does that, she's like, oh, snap, my powers do not work on you. So she pulls out this big-ass sword, tries to attack Tigra with the sword. Tigra knocks the sword out of her hand, and at that point, the rat realizes that she's the weakest one in the room, not Tigra.
But because they have a symbiotic relationship, even though Tigra's at the ready to chop up the rat, he dies immediately because he no longer has the queen to feed and, I guess, be fed by.
Right, and Tigra was like, I was getting ready to kill this dude, but unfortunately, he died before I could do it. Like, she shows some disappointment and not being able to finish this rat off on her own. Throughout this book, they're kind of intimating that Tigra has these cat instincts, like her curiosity is why she's chasing him to begin with, and that the reason she's out every night is that she has to hunt. She's like a cat. She has that cat instinct to go hunt.
Or prowl, at least.
And prowl, which is one of the reasons why she needed to kill this rat, was she's like, I gotta kill this guy.
So she actually had homicidal urges?
I believe that she did.
Okay, because here's the thing. I only read this story maybe a week ago, and I wasn't into it when I was reading it. I was trying to read through it now. I'm just totally turned off by this. Like, I think it's gross and weird and boring, but the art's nice. I'll give Tony Desideiga credit for that.
It's really nice.
Aside from looking at it, I really don't want to read it. I just want to look at it.
She even yells at the rat, the White Queen. Aeschylus? What is that the name? Aeschylus? Aeschylus, kill her. Kill the changeling bitch. Straight up. PG-13. So she says, so in the end, Ratso paid too. Pity in a way, I wanted the pleasure of killing him myself. This was a pretty intense little, however many pages stories this was.
Well, you can't say that we have a consistency in terms of this character at this point.
No, and I don't know why she's in this story.
It should have just been its own little horror thing, right?
What was weird is she wasn't even on the cover. The cover was the queen and the rat.
Yeah.
Weird?
Yeah.
The tiger wasn't even on the
cover. Well, I mean, they're probably not trying to sell the superhero aspect. I expect that Tony Isabella wanted to write another tiger story. He came up with the plot and shoehorned her into this horror book. Just like he shoehorned her into the other horror book.
Yeah, very strange. I thought it was entertaining. It sounded like you had trouble kind of keeping up with it.
I just wasn't interested. I was just turned off.
It was so weird for me that I went down the rabbit hole with this story. Where the hell is this thing going to go? It ended up kind of ending pretty abruptly. And
it wasn't over long, at least that.
Right. But then,
stopped
at least it didn't drag it out. This has nothing to do with Tigra that I know.
I don't think that the people who created, if you can call it creating, the adulterated cat is the way I'd look at it. Tony Isabella, to the best of my knowledge, had nothing to do with Tigra by the time she became an Avenger. And I actually think, ironically, and we'll get to this later on, I believe that Steve Englehart was the one who was responsible for reshaping Tigra from her feminist roots to being the sort of more vague cat creature, and then it was Englehart who gave her that more carefree, fun-loving personality that we're familiar with from her Avengers runs.
Maybe a little bit more to the Greer Grant original carefree-ish?
She
never really was.
She did. That's what was interesting. But part of what made her an interesting character was the dichotomy that she was a light, fun, punny, goofy kind of character, while at the same time having this real strong sense of moral integrity, questioning what she was becoming because of the violence she was engaging in, questing as to what kind of person she was going to be, if she was a hero with the things that she was doing, or if she was doing the right thing. So she had great depth to her, but at the same time, she'd be kind of funny and light. And it seems like they just veered deeper into the funny and light and tried to ignore all the heavier aspects of the character. And certainly the ideological aspects of the character were completely dropped. She's running around in a freaking bikini with teeth on it. And it'd be one thing if that was her personal choice, but she got dressed up by the cat people. So now I'm picturing Joanne Tumalo stripping her naked and throwing a bikini on her.
It's so weird. God, that origin is so strange.
Was there ever a cat, like a literal feline female in comics before Tigra, or was she really the first? I know they had Panther women and stuff from the horror books. They were all ripping off Val Lewis's Cat People from the 1940s movie.
So
I think that she's the first...
A werewoman.
I'm not doing werewoman. I refuse to do that. I'm going to go with feline female. I'm going to go with... It's alliterative. I think Stan Lee would approve. I think that those type of characters were in horror stories, like single one-off anthology type stuff, but I'm pretty sure I'm looking for somebody to correct me, the Tigra was the first ongoing character of her type. The cat women became so ever-present. It was almost like the fire guy. Every team had to have a fire guy and a cat woman or a cat person. And I can't remember any sort of weird type creatures before Tigra.
There's gotta be one more.
I'm not sure that is that. In mainstream comics, like superhero comics, serialized work.
When was her origin?
I believe that it was 74.
74 is a while ago, man.
I agree with that, but I'm thinking...
So it's very possible that she was the first one, but that just really seems weird to me. It seems to me, how low-hanging fruit is that? Instead of a werewolf, you have a cat woman. It just seems so easy to me.
I think they did it in horror anthologies, but I just don't think it was ever applied to serialized superhero type stuff before Tigra.
Bizarre.
The Marvel Superheroes podcast is in no way affiliated with or endorsed by Marvel Entertainment. All characters mentioned and audio clips employed are believed covered under fair use, with no infringement intended against their copyright holders. The views expressed in this podcast are assumed legitimate, truthful, and solely possessed by the speaker.
So the Thundercat ended up being Tiger with a Y?
Tiger with a Y.
Anytime you have to describe anything as something like, yeah, this is with Ys.
He was the worst Thundercat. Everybody hated him.
I don't remember him very well. I remember the costume. I never had the figure. I don't remember anybody having strong opinions about that guy.
No, the strong opinion was that he sucks. He sucked. He was like the straight man. I don't know. Maybe that's the right way to describe it. But he was... Anyway, everybody hated him. You know, you had your Panthro fans, you had your...
Yeah, I like Panthro
fans. You had your Shatara, me too. Panthro was my guy. And he had that badass car.
The nunchucks.
And he had the nunchucks. And then you had... Shatara was hot as shit. And then Lino was of course, the star of the show. And, you know... But fucking, who gives a shit about Tigra?
I would definitely put Shatara above Lino. But I would definitely put Lino above... Now, and then Wile E. Kid and Wile E. Cat. Everybody hated them more.
Okay, everybody hated Wile
E. Cat. That was unadulterated hatred.